The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans. There is so much slander occurring in this ESPN Milwaukee studio right now.
Sometimes the truth hurts.
We'll hold on to it. We're going to hold on to the slander. Because I want to start with this morning. Packers-Bears this weekend. Bucks got a win last night. Lots of stuff going on. I said this yesterday. But Chewy likes to start with something a little lighter.
Warm up.
A little appetizer.
Yes.
Yes. And so we try to accommodate the big guy. Yeah, exactly. Calisthenics, if you will.
There you go. Jumping dynamic jets. Work. What do they call it? Dynamic something or other.
Dynamic warm-up?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Aren't you supposed, like, the one area that you're supposed to reign supreme over everyone here is working out?
Yeah. I just call it stretching. Yeah. I used to love stretch.
I bet you don't stretch anymore, do you?
I do.
I was going to say, you gotta.
Yeah. And floss.
Like the dance?
What?
Floss dance.
There's a dance called the floss?
Yeah.
Been around for like a decade.
Yeah, it's been around for a while.
Yeah, you don't want to see me dance.
At all?
Nah, not at all.
Not even a smidge. No. Okay. I got to talk about this morning. Okay, guys. Joshy brought this up in our production meeting and it blew my mind. So apparently there is a video circulating online of a gentleman who went into an ice cream store and was cut off for having too many samples, for asking for too many samples. You know how samples work, right? You go into the ice cream store, they've got the buckets and buckets and buckets and buckets and buckets and buckets of flavors. Famously more than 31 at some places. We've talked about this. False advertising. So if you don't know what a flavor is going to taste like, you are allowed to sample an ice cream flavor. And if you don't like that one, you can sample another one and maybe you sample another one. But this gentleman was asked to stop. He was told, Joshy, in fact, how did they handle it? What did they say to say, like, enough?
I believe it was just like, hey, we've got other customers.
Ooh.
Which is sort of the whole point of all of it.
You're taking too much time.
Yes. You are holding up everyone else here because you keep saying, ooh, can I try the cookies and cream? What about the moose tracks? What about the blue moon?
Do we have an age on this individual?
40s. He's a former NHL hockey player. It's from Paul Bissonnette from the Spit and Chicklets podcast. He had some issues because people were making fun of the way he ordered food at a diner. And he basically put changes on everything, which brought up this story of the ice cream parlor where he wanted 3 scoops, which is a lot. And he ended up trying, I believe, 9 different flavors of ice cream.
Whoa. If you're getting 3 scoops of ice cream, you're allowed 3 tries per scoop.
Yes.
I didn't know it was a 3 scooper. I had no idea. I thought it was 1 scoop and he tried 9. Whoa, that's way too much. But it's 3 different flavors of ice cream. So he's trying the 3 for this one. Then he's trying the 3 for this one. Then he's trying the 3 for the 3.
Come on, you've never had chocolate chip for crying. You need to sample chocolate chip.
They're running a business. Yeah. And you just get to keep trying it until you're full?
No, that would defeat the point.
It's like, this is my rule of thumb when I go to Costco because people annoy me. Right. If you have no intention of buying whatever the sample is, don't sample it. If you're going there just to eat, right?
Sure.
Which people do.
Sure do.
God, does that annoy me. Like my wife, right?
Careful. Tread lightly, buddy.
She's in town, too. Nah, I'm going to say anyway.
Whisper, like, she won't hear
you. She samples 6 different kinds of beer. Beer tastes like rear end anyways, all right? You're drinking it to catch a buzz. You don't need 6 samples of it.
You know, I can't figure out why you don't have more alcohol endorsements here. It's a mystery.
Well, we went through the weed. We're still hanging on there. But you know what I mean? It's like, order a damn beer, please, right? Am I right, Gabe?
Okay, so your point is, she's a grown-up. She doesn't need a sample? Because that's, I think, the point that Joshy was making about the ice cream was, you're a grown-up. You know what ice cream tastes like. You don't need a single sample, let alone 9 samples. I'm going to tell you this. When I go into the ice cream place with my girls, 6 and almost 5, they sample.
Uh-huh.
Because some of the flavors are a little mysterious. Like,
sure.
What is Pirate's Booty? You know, if you're 6 and
according
5...
According to Chewy, beer. Keep the kids away from that.
Yes. I believe it's an IPA.
A little lager. You know, so like in that instance, and I was saying I have a 6-year-old who's very particular, right?
Mm-hmm.
The 5-year-old, I could give her ice cream. Doesn't matter what kind it is, doesn't matter what's in it, and she's going to house it, okay? Like, mm-hmm. That's just her personality. But the 6-year-old is much more particular. She wants to know, what does it taste like? What does it feel like on her tongue, right? Like, she's got all of those, like, sensory things.
Yeah. Sure.
That's the only word that's coming to mind.
So for her, she needs to try it before she has it, because she will be very distraught if she orders a full ice cream cone and then she doesn't like it. Like, that will send her into a tailspin. So for her, try away, baby girl. Try away.
Yeah, that's why I solved this problem that has plagued America for many years now, once the sampling became bigger, is 12 years and under, you can sample. I don't think children should have to get an ice cream. They get very excited to go get ice cream. At 12 years old, above 12 years old, you get what you get. You're done for. But yeah, a bad ice cream for a 6-year-old can ruin not only their day, but their parents' day. So we're trying to keep the peace.
Yes, here. But there are adults that'll go in there and say, oh, I want 3 scoops, have 10 samples, and then go, well, I'll only have 1 scoop.
Yeah. Which is why I am on board, and I support.
Yes.
I am voting for Josh and his platform.
Uh-huh.
If you're an adult, you don't get any samples. You know what ice cream tastes like. You understand what the flavors are. And guess what? If it turns out to not be a great ice cream, you're an adult. You know you're going to have ice cream again. You're going to get another crack at it the next time you go back to the ice cream store.
Okay, let's be reasonable here, Chew. You can get a sample or 2 as a grown-up.
If you're buying 1 beer, Gabe, you get 2 samples. That's it.
You mean like the little? Like
I'll give you 6 samples if you're buying 5 beers.
No, see, he's got a sliding scale.
And look, especially if you go to, I mean, different craft breweries have different, especially with the holidays coming out, they have a bunch of different releases. I'm the same thing on beer, man.
Yep.
Oh, that sounds interesting. I'll try that. Guess what? If I don't like it, I'll order another beer.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have more money. I can pay for another beer. Don't get that one.
When I go up to the person purveying beer and the person in front of me is like, that sounds interesting. I'll try a little bit of that. No, you're a grown-up. This is all about being a grown-up.
Okay, hold on. I got to figure out. I'm trying to nail down, Joshy, what your issue with it is. Is it the efficiency or is it the entitlement?
It is all of the above. Because it is the entitlement of, I'm so important, everybody should stop what they're doing and service me so I can be happy and my belly can feel good and I can have what I want.
Okay.
I think part of it's cheapness. I do. I think they want to fill up, get a free whatever it is, a beer or what, and then just, okay.
Yeah, they think they're skirting the system.
Well,
yeah.
But hold on. You brought up Costco a minute ago. Nothing is free. I have a Costco membership. It's like $250 a year for the family or whatever it is. So if I bring my kids in there and I'm doing my grocery shopping and they want a sample, guess what? Lunch is served. Like, I don't feel bad about doing that, guys.
But you're getting the benefit on buying in bulk, and that's cheaper than...
But also
going to a grocery store and buying toilet paper. We were just talking about this deodorant.
But they're also giving you free samples, and the person, you know, they're trying to entice you to buy that product. You're already at the ice cream store. It's not like, oh, if I get the mint chocolate chips, that money's going towards somebody else. No, you're already at the ice cream store. You've made the commitment to buy ice cream.
But then so counterpoint to that is, do they or do they not want to sell the new flavor? Right? If they are putting Pirate's Booty up there, oh, it's Halloween and Pirate's Booty is our flavor. Great. I'm sure you'd like to unload your Pirate's Booty. Can I try it and see if I like it? Yes.
Yeah. You want to know how you can try that?
B12.
B12. Yeah. Or get a scoop in a dish, pay your $3, and eat the damn thing.
But are there 9 Pirate's Booties at an ice cream store? Are there 9 exotic flavors in an ice cream store?
You know what I'm saying?
Let me sample the chocolate chip.
Well, this is the thing. So I go into an ice cream store. I know I'm probably going to have something chocolate related, right? My go-to ice cream is Rocky Road. I love it. I get it every time. But if they're last time I went in there, this is a great opportunity to talk about this. They had a Kit Kat Halloween something. Mm-hmm. I love Kit Kat.
Is it chocolate?
Sure is.
Isn't it?
Sure is.
Is there 9 different kinds of chocolate that I don't know about? I mean, I know there's white chocolate and
dark chocolate.
I had it all. I know what it tastes like. Am I right?
You want to know why, Chew?
Yeah.
Because you're an adult.
Yep.
So I tried the Kit Kat Halloween flavor. Not great, Bob. Not great. Guess what I went back to? The old Rocky Road. The old standby, old reliable, enjoyed my ice cream cone. And I don't think I hacked anybody off by doing it. I'll tell you this also, though, Joshy. Does it matter how many people are in the ice cream shop?
Yes.
If you're solo, nobody's in there. It's just me and my kids. Now, do we have unlimited samples? Is there more leeway if there's not a line or other customers who will be affected by the selectiveness?
From a general sense, I would have, if it's completely empty, you're the only one in there, I'm not going to make a big stink. I do think generally the rule should be, and it's up to the discretion of the person working, does this person deserve a sample or not? And the other one last caveat is, if it's a special, super exotic flavor, like some places around here do things that, like, I couldn't even picture what to do. Like, if they're like, hey, we're giving out samples because we want to do that, I would allow it. Because, like, who knows what a brandy old-fashioned ice cream tastes like? But as an adult,
Gabe just.
I went there.
Don't do it.
Wait, why? No good?
It tasted so much like a brandy old-fashioned, it freaked me out.
Yes.
Really?
It just freaked me out.
Wow.
Like, no, I should be drinking this, not eating this. I don't know what to do. Like, my brain did not know how to handle the fact that what I was tasting should have been a liquid.
800-990-3776. Reaction rolling in this morning as we knew it would. Todd says, Jen is hoity-toity. No adult needs samples. You've been around long enough to know what ice cream tastes like. Brandon in the 920 says, sounds like Chewy has a new arrogance. Sample arrogance.
Yeah,
put it on the list.
All right, hold on. Let me put it on there.
Ricardo from Canada says they're running a business. They're wasting money on spoons. You're holding up the line. You're creating a negative atmosphere for others, which will create negative buying patterns. If you are 40 years old, you need to move on with your life. Chef Ed says this is like the person who goes to the grocery store and eats all the free samples for their lunch or their dinner. No, thank you. 800-990-3776. I do think that we are figuring out that there are exceptions to the rules. Joshy is putting an age limit on the samples. And then it is also if there are new flavors that they're trying to sell, right? Like a Halloween special or a Christmas special. Joshy is saying you're allowed to try the new flavors with the understanding you're going to get something.
I think it has to be, I think, not to speak for you, Joshy, but I think it has to be incredibly exotic.
Yes.
Like the Kit Kat flavored. Yeah. You know what ice cream tastes like?
Yeah.
You know what Kit Kat tastes like?
Yes.
Yeah. It was bad.
Well, hey, guess what? You get a bad. Sometimes life ain't what you want it to be.
And I don't think we're anti-sample. We're just, there should be a limit. One.
Okay, so you're different. You're saying I'm not anti-adult sample. I'm saying there should be a limit of what? 3? 2?
1. 1. If you don't like it, go to something that you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, go to something that you know you like.
Yes.
Hey, I took a swing. I missed. All right. Yeah.
This.
What's next in the grocery store? Well, I tried your chocolate Doritos. Here's your bad back. I didn't like it. What the hell? Where is it in?
Chocolate Doritos.
I'm intrigued. Goodbye.
This all like really starts from a place of, for me, I want to be the biggest, like, I want to be the least inconvenience to the person behind the counter at all times. I never want to bother the person or the person behind me. Like, I've been in lines where it's 5 people, and not only are the adults, the kids are doing it, and it's like a 15-minute process. And you're like, I just wanted a scoop of, like, cookie dough. Can we get out of here? Like, everyone knows what cookie dough tastes like.
Yeah.
Grow up. And guess what? Sometimes I get stuff I don't like. And what do I do about it? I move on with my life. That's just how it goes.
Peter Pan, Count Chocula.
Guess what? You get another swing next time you're there.
Brian says, if there is a beer that sounds interesting, but I may not like it, I will ask for a taster. After that, I will order a full beer, either the taster that I enjoyed or something that I feel confident I will like. Sounds like Brian is in alignment with Chew.
Yes.
One sample, either you say, oh, that was wonderful, I'll have that, or not my favorite, and pivot to an old reliable, an old standby.
But I mean, again, if you sample something, you have to commit to get something.
Or get a flight.
Ooh.
Get a flight.
It's almost like those businesses kind of figured out that thing where people are going to want to try stuff. They might not like it, so I'll give them a small amount.
Brambo09 says a sample should be done for final choice between two or three flavors. That on our YouTube page. Remember, you can always stream the show on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page to watch our reaction to all of the conversations. Jason Wilde is going to join us in just a few moments. We will talk green and gold with him. But as a father of two, I would be interested in knowing what his position on the old sample gate is as well. Again, this started because a gentleman went into an ice cream store, sampled and sampled and sampled and sampled and sample, 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 sample 9 times before the people at the store were like, hey, you cut off. No more samples. Order your ice cream and get a move on. Jason Wilde joins us next.
Tune in to The Nalysis Show each and every week, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Thanasis Adetokounmpo hangs out with special guests for fun and even surprising conversations. Maybe it's his live show with Giannis, a chat with Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop on fighting with Logan Paul, or any one of TA's unique guests. Find The Nalysis Show on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Plus, you can subscribe to The Nalysis Show on YouTube to see exclusive video content from Thanasis. The Nalysis Show, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call. That's all.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Looking forward to getting the latest from Jason Wilde on the green and gold. Every Packers player practiced yesterday. That sounds like one of those sentences that they make you say to warm up your mouth. Jason, good morning. How are you doing today?
Fake news. Fake news.
Oh, no, not fake news.
Oh. Talk to me, Goose.
Again, this is important to Colby Wooden. I'm not sure it's for the rest of our audience. Because of the scheduling, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but we have a show that's on after you guys. We call it Wilde and Tausch.
Oh, good for you.
It's okay.
Good for you.
It's okay. Yeah, I mean, we overcome the mediocrity of the host, and the star power of the former right tackle really carries the show. But it goes until noon, and they open up practice at like 11:45 for the 15 minutes or whatever we get. So I can't be two places at once, so I don't usually get to go unless LaFleur has a late practice, which he hates daylight savings, so there will be no more late practices this year. A few folks were obviously at practice and tweeted out that everybody was practicing, but turns out that that wasn't true, as Matt LaFleur informed us that Colby Wooden, who I know a lot of you are big Colby Wooden fans out there. I know there's a lot of 96 jerseys that gets sold at the pro shop, but he did not practice. He's dealing with a shoulder injury that's been bothering him for quite a while. So, fun kid, by the way. Really great personality, so I don't want to downgrade him and make him sound like he's not important. But he does prevent the clean sweep of everybody at least participating in practice.
Jason, what's the spat between McKinney and Moore?
So, this is really interesting. So, a little peek behind the curtain. So there are a few of us that are kind of one-man bands, right? Me, Bill Huber from Sports Illustrated, Domofsky obviously doesn't have a second ESPN guy there. And so what we have kind of a little bit of a consortium where we make sure that one of us covers every large group in the locker room. Like yesterday, Love and McKinney were talking at the same time, and Rob and I we're at Love, and Bill went to McKinney. And toward the end of the conversation, like completely unprompted, he brings up how DJ Moore disrespected him in the spring. He was on with Kay Adams on Up and Adams, And Kay mentioned to him, I went back and looked at the video so I had a better idea of what had happened. But Kay Adams mentions that the Lions drafted two corners and that the Packers signed Xavier McKinney. And he says, who? And I think he's saying who, in fairness to DJ Moore, who leaves the field while plays are still going on. I think he's saying which teams. I don't think it's like, I don't know who McKinney is. But then he says, well, that's nice. Oh, how nice, or something snarky. And, again, as is often the case with bulletin board material, maybe you didn't quite hear it right. But if whatever gets you up in the morning and gets you fired up and motivates you, God bless you. And so he was, like, legitimately pissed. And he's obviously kept that in his heart, waiting for Bears-Packers week. And so it really started. Bill asked him, you know, hey, you played at Alabama, Alabama-Auburn. Now, that's a rivalry because, as you know, Chu, maybe back in your day, but certainly not now, for most of these guys, I was talking to Wicks yesterday, and he kind of said this almost verbatim, rivalries aren't really for the players. They're for the fans. Like, unless there's some sort of actual beef, none of these, especially these young guys, haven't played in this rivalry very much. They don't feel the history and the Ditka and Forrest Gregg punching each other on the sideline of Milwaukee County Stadium. They don't feel any of that. But McKinney insists that this is, you know, he does believe in NFL rivalries, and then he completely unprompted mentions this whole DJ Moore thing, and then even takes a shot at him for leaving the field while Caleb Williams is running for his life on that one play against, I think it was Arizona. So, yeah, there's definitely, whether it's real or imagined, there is definitely beef there. That's the word I keep being taught by my eighth grader. I always think of where's the beef, but where the beef is apparently is between DJ Moore and Xavier McKinney.
Marshawn Lloyd started practicing yesterday. Jason, when do you think you'll be activated to the 53?
Good question, Gabe. I would think that it'll be this week. There are certainly Josh Jacobs was talking about him as if he is playing. Matt LaFleur did allow for the possibility that it doesn't happen at the end of the week here. But I'm really intrigued because this is going to sound weird, but I was kind of thinking, well, they don't really need him, right? They love Chris Brooks. Like, they just think he was a brilliant in-season pickup, and I think he probably was. They still are very high on Emmanuel Wilson, and then obviously they've got Josh Jacobs as their bell cow. But there is something about Marshawn Lloyd and his speed and explosiveness that they think will add just another dimension to their offense. So I think they want to get him up and running, and they want to get him in the game. He's played one game. He played in the opener. He had 6 carries for 15 yards. In training camp, Jordan Love called him a little rocket in the backfield. So they like what he brings to the table, but he's had hip injuries, he's had hamstring injuries, and an ankle injury. Like, he's been hurt far more in his rookie season than he's been on the field. So I'll be eager to see what he's able to do if he does, in fact, play.
Jason, last night on Weekly Wager, man, I just cannot shake this bug in my throat. Last night on Weekly Wager, we were talking about how the line in this game over at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook is Packers favored by 5.5. I think that's low. And I feel like I must be missing something. I don't know why the odds makers aren't giving the Packers a bigger margin of victory here. Packers are off the bye, 4th in the NFL in net yards per play. Obviously, Jordan Love is healthy. We've been told that he looks like he's going to have his entire contingent of offensive weapons. The Bears are a broken team with a brand new offensive coordinator who yesterday Caleb Williams said he has barely spoken to. Am I missing something? I know it's at Soldier Field. He said that they barely have spoken.
I'm sorry. The guy is the passing game, or was, now he's the interim offensive coordinator. He is the passing game coordinator.
Yep. Haven't spoken much.
What are they doing down there?
It's Chicago.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
It's great, and that's why I brought it up. That's why I brought it up. I thought it was interesting. I thought, like, again, like, oh, well, that doesn't. But if he had said, actually, Tom and I talk every day, like, we are in lockstep, and it's a natural transition for him to step into this because he and I have a great relationship, and I think I'm going to be at my best with him calling the plays, then I would be like, oh, well, there's the difference. Why is this line only 5.5? I feel like the Packers should be double-digit favorites in this one.
Yeah, it's very. I mean, it's obviously very rare for any team, even if they're playing a really good team against a really bad team, to be double-digit favorites in the NFL these days, I think. But I don't know. Josh DiMaggio produces the show. I barely talk to him, so I don't really know much about him. I don't know what he thinks. Like, that is the dysfunction there is just mind-boggling to me. And I got burned at the stake on our show for saying that I feel bad for Bears fans that they have to put up with this ineptitude and this constant clown show that the Chicago Bears seem to have been for the better part of the last 3 decades, or at least ever since they fired Lovie Smith for daring to go 10-6 in a season. But that just, have you ever heard anything like that before?
I mean, usually from really bad teams. It all escapes me.
The guy that's taking over as the play caller, who is in charge? It's not like he's the run game coordinator.
But Jason, right? I just wonder if it is, you know how they make associate head coaches, or, you know, is it just a title to protect him or something like that, where he really is not the passing game coordinator? You know,
I don't know. All I would tell you is that so Jason Vrabel is the Packers' passing game coordinator on offense. Okay. Now, as you kind of point out, there is a part of him that it's just sort of like a glorified, he's still the wide receivers coach, okay? Because they wanted to get Ryan Mahaffey promoted, and so they made him the wide receivers coach, but Jason sits in all the meetings, or at least the vast majority of meetings. But Jason Vrabel talks to Jordan Love all the time. Like, that is all, because newsflash, in the passing game, that requires the quarterback to pass the ball.
No, not Jason. Yeah, no, okay. No, that's not how that works.
Yeah, I know. Doesn't make a lot of sense. So I just, and I know this doesn't answer the question about the line, which I don't understand it either, but this is the kind of stuff that makes me feel bad for Bears fans. Like, it's not their fault that they were born into Bears fandom as kids, or chose to become fans when they were like little people when they won the Super Bowl in 85 or whatever it is. But this is the kind of stuff this is just so embarrassing. And I was watching, I think it was Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic doing a thing yesterday where he went through kind of the lineage of how they have screwed up 3 consecutive coach quarterback combinations ever since the Lovie Smith firing and giving coaches quarterbacks that they didn't pick because they kept a coach around for a year and then he inherited a quarterback that he wasn't part of picking. And it's going to happen again, right? I mean, Eberflus is getting fired at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Can't imagine he's going to be there. I assume Poles maybe survives and gets to hire another head coach first before they change that job. But the bottom line is that this is what Packers fans endured in the 70s and 80s. Too many, you know, I understand you weren't born yet, a lot of folks, so they don't know this. But like Judge Robert Perrins, who was the team president before Bob Harlan, was my grandmother used to complain about him all the time. He was a meddling, he had no football acumen or background at all. He was a judge. And he would meddle in the football operation all the time. They had a chance to hire Ron Wolf before they hired a guy named Tom Bratz, who became the GM with, I think, Lindy Infante. And Ron Wolf came and was like, this place is a blank show. And get me out of here.
No,
and Bob Harlan had to drive back to the airport. So I'm just, it's just unfathomable to me that now, today, in a league where you are looking for every advantage possible, and whether it's having a top-flight chef in the cafeteria or a top-flight analytics team, that the Bears continue to have situations like the quarterback barely knowing the guy who's going to call the plays on Sunday.
Jason, I saw Saleh was back in town. Was he working with the offense or defense? And is this kind of a, hey, Matt, buddy, can you get me the hell out of the house? These kids are driving me nuts.
He does that
because that's what
kids.
It feels like.
Yeah. So I mean, I can't say that that's completely out of the realm of possibility. But Mark Murphy, in his must-read column every Saturday, the first Saturday of the month, did write that they hired him, that they legitimately have hired him. So it's not just hey, my buddy's coming and hanging out at practice. So again, I've said this multiple times. If I'm Robert Saleh, I would want them to pay me in like Quick Trip gift cards, because I want to take every penny that the Jets owe me. Because clearly this was, you look at the Jets, I think we can safely say now that Robert Saleh, while maybe not Vince Lombardi, was not the problem there. So I don't know if he's got offset language that gets the Jets off the hook for whatever the Packers are paying him then. But yeah, look, I don't think the Packers have like a too many cooks in the kitchen problem. Like, I think having Robert Saleh there, whatever he's doing, is a good thing. And the fact that Jeff Hafley has a previous relationship with him means that there's no awkwardness of, hey, we got this defensive guy who came in and he's stepping on the toes of the defensive coordinator.
Jason, let's say you're taking your girls out for ice cream, celebrating some big athletic moment maybe they just achieved. You go to the local ice cream parlor up there in Green Bay. You walk in. How many samples do you think you, as an adult, should get?
2 to 3. I can't believe Josh got 9. I mean, he blamed it on this random
person.
But the truth of the matter is that, asking for a friend, can I try the butter brittle?
Yeah. What's vanilla taste like?
I have proudly never once asked for a sample at an ice cream store.
Well, then you're just stupid.
That's just he's an adult.
I'm being a grown up, Jason. If you it's ice cream.
No.
You'll be good.
No, you don't risk taking a flavor that you're going to regret.
But I'm 30. I can deal with the bad flavor.
The disappointment.
I'll go back next week.
Well, so I just want to throw this out there. Justin in the 414 did weigh in on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. He said, I am mostly anti-sample. I love ice cream. But if I am visiting somewhere from out of town, I will stop at a locally famous ice cream shop. And if it's a reasonable situation for an adult, I will get a sample. You might not be back to that shop, and I am using valuable time to stop, so I want to get something I enjoy.
Well, no, I mean, you already know what you enjoy. Like, just go to an old standby. Because turns out if that ice cream shop can't do a good butter pecan, they're not going to be able to do anything right.
Wait, is there a good butter pecan? Does that exist?
Does that make
and
people
every
old?
Place? Yeah, every
butter
every
pecan. You do
that's
not
your go-to?
Like butter pecan.
I love it.
Yeah, butter pecan's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right,
what?
Good luck with this guy.
Jason Wildy, you can hear about Wildy and Tosh right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Thank you, Jason. Have a great one.
Bye. Yes, bye.
Why did he sound like Buddy the Elf there on that audio? Bye. Hope you
know what
would
be a
dad.
Great flavor, though? That brings me back to the sweatshirt Jason was wearing
you're
the other
inventing
day.
Ice cream flavors?
Robin egg. There should be a Robin egg ice cream.
Blue Moon.
What is it? What would it taste like?
But that sounds disgusting.
Wait, more disgusting than Robin egg?
No, I think Robin egg would be, what could you put in it that's yellow?
Yolk.
I feel like it would just be dye.
No, Blue Moon, like the beer, sounds terrible.
Wait, what? Blue Moon sounds terrible? You know it's not actually chunks of moon, right, Gru?
Oh, he would be all in if it actually was.
Is there a Blue Moon beer? Is there a Blue Moon beer?
Yeah.
With an orange slice?
Yeah.
Come over to the wine side. It's much easier and it tastes a lot better.
Oh my God, I've been down the wine aisle. It's not much easier.
Tough decisions. Very tough decisions.
Yay. Talk to me. I hook you up, right?
That's it. Yeah. If you want a wine recommendation.
$79 a bottle.
Oh, he's got great price ranges. Yeah. His go-to is 55, but he can get you a little lower price entry point.
You can't go anything lower than, say, 16 with a red. White, you can drink 9. You can.
Some good $9?
Hey, I feel like we need to write this down. This feels like valuable information Chewy is passing on to us. So let me get this straight. You can go, you can't go below $16
with
for
a red.
Or you get the headache wine, right?
It's just aftertaste. Okay. Not real good.
But you can go as low as $9
on a
white.
You can maybe even go even lower.
Is that because it's sugary? More sugary? Is that it?
It just doesn't ferment as well. You know, never buy an expensive white. Don't. It's a mistake. It's a mistake.
Isn't your wife an expensive white?
No, she's an expensive red. She is a snob. Total wine snob.
It was a joke about...
It went over my head.
Yeah, we should just move on.
Really?
Maybe when you're older.
Once again, here's the punching bag. Go.
I included you in the joke. It's not my fault that you didn't get it. You've heard me talk about Professional Construction, Inc. over the years. We've enjoyed having them help us with our home projects. You know, we're not the most handy people, so when we get in over our heads, the PCI team gets us out of trouble. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships and doing exceptional work on your remodeling project, your home addition, or your new home. Check out their website. It's professionalconstructioninc.com. At their website, you can see some of the jobs they have done and get inspiration for the jobs that they can do for you. Again, it's professionalconstructioninc.com. Tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You called them a white stiff earlier.
From one white stiff to another? I'm pretty well versed in the realm of stiffs.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And we were talking with Jason Wilde about this Xavier McKinney beef with DJ Moore. If you missed any of our conversation with Jason Wilde, you can always find it on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcasts. So Xavier McKinney heard what DJ Moore said about the upgrades in the secondary, in the NFC North. I don't think DJ Moore was trying to be disrespectful, if I'm being honest. Far be it for me to like defend DJ Moore, but I listened to the Kay Adams clip and it didn't seem like he was intentionally being like, who are those guys? But I do understand, Chu, when you're in a big game, especially after a bye week, you've been sitting idle for 2 weeks now. You might need something to get your juices going again. You might need a little extra motivation. And I understand why Xavier McKinney might have conflated the information to make it seem like a slight for him.
I did the same thing. And it was totally unintentional. I called, you know, Darren Woodson, who I love, nicest guy, should be in the Hall of Fame, great guy. I called him Rod. You know, Rod Woodson.
Well, yes,
I
mean,
that's a compliment, though. Rod was better than
and
Darren.
And he got mad at me, and I'm like, oh, my God. And I had to go, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I just had one of those moments where, you know.
That you have every
day. But he was mad. Rightfully so.
Then he used it as motivation.
No, he didn't. He's not that. He was just like, he's like, I get it. Don't worry about it. But he was ticked at the time that I did it because he thought I was being a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, and calling
him. Well, if he listened, I mean, again, I know this is years after you've played now, but if he's listened to this show any little bit, he understands that you get names wrong constantly.
I'm sure he does too. I'm sure he has moments now, but
as far as like manufacturing slips, did you experience that? Did you have guys who would drum up hashtag fake news?
Yeah. Holmgren would incite it because he would take something. Holmgren was huge on bulletin board material. As long as it didn't come out of our camp, because if something like that happened, he'd pull you up to the office and he'd get ticked. He did not want bulletin board material, but he welcomed it from the other side. So if someone said something inflammatory back in the day, we would walk in after morning meetings and everyone would have, you know, a piece of paper taped on the locker with the quote, which we thought was still, we're like, who cares? You know, some people roll with it. Some people don't.
Well, I mean, but in this instance, I wonder if McKinney lets it go, if it's just the who. But the fact that DJ Moore then finished the whole thing by going, oh, good for them.
That's nice, is what he
said. Oh, that's nice. I mean, whatever condescending way he decided to put that, that's what takes it to the next level.
But in pregame, is this going to turn into a Jair and Diggs? Remember that whole scrum before the Houston game? Because when you're at home, you feel a little braver.
But
you feel a little braver.
When you're on the road, not as much?
Well, it depends on the guy. You know?
So
but I could honestly see something happening before the game because Jair's probably going to roll with it and say something to it. I would anticipate a scrum before the game.
Hell yeah. Fireworks?
Hell yeah.
Just, you know, mouthing and I'm you're on that. Our side of the field.
Xavier McKinney wouldn't normally be covering DJ Moore, though, right? Wouldn't that be a Jair Alexander assignment?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But guys go to bat for one another, and especially position groups, I guarantee Jair's going to. And I like it. I love this stuff, you know?
Just don't enter
that 5-yard circle because you get fined.
Well, and does it
also, if it's a fight, it's got to be a fight.
Does it also amplify the rivalry a little bit? Because the argument has been that the rivalry is not as powerful, feisty, significant as it has been in the past because it's been so one-sided. It's been so lopsided. Matt LaFleur undefeated against the Bears in Chicago.
But again, like Jason pointed out, rivalries in every sport, it's for us, for the fans. Because players change over. I mean, the Packers are the youngest team in the league.
Yeah.
How many of these guys, you know, are going through this? I mean, it's still this third or fourth, fifth time. You know, they're still so young to it. The rivalries are for us. But they're for the fans.
The only way rivalries work is if both sides are good at one point in time. You know? Like the town of Green Bay used to do things back when I played. Like, there were restaurants that would put Bears jerseys out as doormats. Before you got into the restaurant?
Hell yeah.
I don't know if they do that. Do you hear anything around here of them doing things like that?
No, but, I mean, if I would do that, but that means I would have to go out and spend money on a Bears jersey.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll see if I can scrounge something up. You know, I'll drive around today. I'll see if I can find like a Goodwill, maybe a Bears t-shirt, Bears something, and I will put it out as a doormat in front of our studio.
I love that. That's brilliant. It's great. You know who would have one is Rutledge.
He's not going to give one up.
If he doesn't know what you're going to use it for, he might. Be like, hey, I'm thinking about changing allegiances. Can I borrow a Bears jersey?
I think he might see through
that. Isn't it time? Do you think there's Bears fans that jump ship? Like, wouldn't you choose another team?
How bad would it have to get?
It's bad. They're terrible. 85 was their last Super Bowl they won.
Well, don't forget about Sexy Rexy. I mean, Super Bowl they won.
Yeah. But that was a strike year, wasn't it, or something like that? It was something weird. Listen, they suck. I kind of like it. And they bring it upon themselves because they're delusional. They start every year like, hey, we're going to be great.
Are you serious, though? This past year, you didn't think that they had a reason to be delusional?
Yes, I did, and I kind of fell for the bait because we were talking about the rearview mirror and things like that. But I always kept them in the rearview. I didn't bring them up to the side. I just find it in my doc yesterday called asking for tickets for the Minnesota game. I'm like, wants to bring his kids. I'm like, why? Why? You're going to scar him, you know? So if something happens to me, he implanted something somewhere for me. Just know that. Okay.
Wait, hold on. What are you talking about? Your doctor implanted something in you? Because
I'm saying
you
if
commented on his fandom.
He's just that bad of a delusional Bears fan. I'm like, jump ship. You know? The thing already sunk. And you're trying to save it.
I think we can get value out of looking back at how wrong we all were about the Bears, because regardless of talent level, the dysfunction that reigns from the very top to the bottom is something that is insurmountable. They need wholesale change to a degree, and we underestimated just how ineffective they are as Big Cat talked about it on his podcast. Like, we're seeing what if they would have drafted Patrick Mahomes. He wouldn't be as good, not comparing those two players, but he wouldn't be this guy because Andy Reid and that system, that structure
is
better.
But hold on. I will also say this. The other thing that makes it way worse for Bears fans is watching teams franchises like the Washington Commanders, who were the laughing stock of the league, guys, under Dan Snyder, turn things around, make big changes. That fan base now has something to cheer for, something to be excited about, right? I would argue the Detroit Lions. I would argue they were an 0-16 team not that long ago, and it felt like they were always going to be the worst team in the NFC North. Get a brand new coach in there, get a new get management in there, flip it around. Now they're the top team in the NFC. A lot of people expect them to go to the Super Bowl, and they're seeing that it can be done. It's not like it can't be done. It's not like other teams out there haven't figured out a recipe, haven't figured out a blueprint. But the Bears, for whatever reason, even seeing this happen with other teams, still have not pushed the right buttons, pulled the right levers, and gotten this thing on the tracks. And I think that is what is even more frustrating for Bears fans.
Could Caleb Williams be a bust?
Yes.
As a Bears player, of course. I think I said this yesterday. I think it was on Weekly Wager, or maybe it was not, maybe it was on our show. Courtney Cronin was saying the players in the locker room are saying he's too good to fail. And that is not taking into account the environment he has been planted in. I don't know that there's anyone who is too good not to fail in Chicago.
Ooh.
Wait, too good to fail. Too good not to fail.
Mm-hmm. Too good not to fail. Yeah, I mean, the only one you can think of is Patrick Mahomes, right?
Yeah.
That's the one you would think maybe he can get above this. But also when you mentioned the teams that have come back, one of them required, like, police and FBI investigations and then a sale of the team to come back.
I forgot all about that.
Like, the Lions didn't go through that much of a wholesale change, but I think the Bears are in the Commanders' territory where it needs to be cleaned house every level.
But as Chewy said, I mean, it can be tough. If you don't have the right processes in place, it can be tough to find that one person that the Lions have found in Dan Campbell to turn the culture around.
Right. And not to bring it back to college football, but that's what I do because that's the space that I'm most experienced in, guys. Why do so many guys have success after working under Nick Saban? Because they literally go in there and they Xerox his program. How he runs everything from top to bottom, the schedule, the priorities, everything. And they say, I'm going to copy this and I'm going to bring it to Georgia. I am going to copy this. I'm going to bring it to Oregon. You know what I'm saying? Like, without knowing how those successful organizations do it, you're just wandering in the dark, aren't you?
Well, one of the greatest things I took for Holmgren for all the years, and he said it multiple times a year. He said, as soon as you let the little things slip, then you start letting the bigger things slip. You know? Like the DB in Washington acting like a fool.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's suspendable. That's
suspended him one quarter.
Said, one game. You're on the bench. We ain't doing that crap here. You know, DJ Moore, I don't care who you are. That's suspendable. That ain't gonna fall. That's the organization. Little things slip, then bigger things slip. Because it's not just the coaches. It's the front office as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the belief that you are so far gone and you're trying to take steps in the right direction so you can't bench that guy or you can't cut that guy because you need them for the rebuild is probably part of that polluted mindset as well.
Once you have your veteran players asking for a change at quarterback, Done.
Well, so you're a player. You ask for the change. They obviously don't do it. Are you pouting a little bit?
You don't have faith. You know? I mean, guys talk.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, you're always taught not don't ever talk about the defense, and defense don't ever talk about the offense.
But these are things that competent franchises say, shoot.
Yes.
Right? Like, and the baseline is competent franchise. I'm going to read you the quote. We haven't really talked much through this time. We just haven't been in the position to have many conversations. But I think he's pretty detailed and will put us in a position to help us win football games. Caleb Williams on his relationship with new OC Thomas Brown.
Who was the passing game coordinator before getting promoted?
Correct me if I'm wrong. You need a quarterback to throw the ball for a passing game?
Helps.
Huh.
Debatable, but... I'll suspend my disbelief to follow you down this road, Josh.
I thought those two would be pretty connected.
And everyone
But that tells you just how dysfunctional they are as like a coaching staff, as an organization. Your passing game coordinator doesn't have access to your quarterback?
But which is weird because all the coaches want to talk to the quarterback because they're the face of the franchise, you know, so they want to get in good with them.
Well, because you had also said that like every guy, and maybe this is from the Playmakers podcast that I was listening to, and Sean McVay, your guy, saying like, you would pitch plays to the offensive coordinator and to the head coach, because if you got a play in there, that meant that you were on the up and up, right?
Yeah.
So it would, I would think that, I mean, Tom
Mike Sherman,
Brown...
Mike Sherman would do that every week with us. He'd say, draw up a play in the red zone that you like. And I don't ever remember getting one in, but he would always, you know, they'd keep you involved. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just an organizational thing.
Look at the Aaron Rodgers industrial complex. Nathaniel Hackett has gotten multiple jobs he doesn't deserve.
Yeah.
Luke Getsy got a job. Sure. Like, Aaron Rodgers' guys get jobs because when you are close to those people, it behooves you. You're thought of highly.
And it goes back to Brett. I mean, look at how many jobs Brett got. I mean, Marty Mortenwig, a head coach?
Yeah, I mean, again, Marty didn't work out, but Andy,
what did
Mooch,
you say his last name is?
Mortenwig. I love Marty, too. It's just, yeah, I mean, it goes Dick Turan, John Gruden.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it goes, and not only that, he got guys probably that weren't qualified to be coordinators or good enough coaches to be coordinators. So the trickle down is huge.
We got to take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Again, I mentioned this with Jason Wilde. The line in this game is Packers 5.5. If you got some time, folks, you might want to cruise over to Potawatomi Sportsbook and, I don't know, just take a gander at it. Not telling you what to do. I'm just saying that it feels like the Packers are on the up and up, and it feels like the Bears are on the down and down. And if you go to Potawatomi Sportsbook, remember, in a major move for all sports bettors out there, you can now use your Potawatomi Rewards card at most of the self-service kiosks and at the betting counter. That means you can bet on your favorite sports and your favorite teams and earn reward points along the way. That is a winning play. Bet above the rest. Learn more at paysbig.com/sportsbook.